welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
So today's show is really cool stuff. I believe there's a caller waiting. So actually, I'd like to get to the caller before I launch in. So you want to patch on through the caller? I believe her name is Barbara.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi there. How are you?
I am good, but I could certainly use some help. I've been conscious on the spirit path for 18 years, and in the course of time doing inner child work, I discovered that I had split off a piece of psyche that I called the little protector when I was a kid to prevent me from feeling anger and resentment when I was getting emotionally overwhelmed. And I found it. I wrote to it like you would to an inner child. It wrote back to me. I did a ceremony. I killed it off. And now I'm finding pockets of repressed anger are bubbling up a lot. I think the energies today are so strong, trying to help us release, to expand our consciousness, that it's supporting the release of all this repressed anger I didn't even know I had. And it's especially difficult right now because I've waited 18 years for my right divine partner. And I met a man named Miguel in May, and the dear blessed man is a perfect soul match because he triggers me all the time. I have been nothing but cranky since I met him. I've been waiting 18 years for him to show up, and his soul is so attuned to mine. It knows exactly what to say to find another old pocket, which is a blessed gift for my soul, but it's not doing us too much good in our relationship.
Right.
So, oh, please, I need help.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead, because today's show is about how do we engage the invisible field of consciousness outside of our own physical body to help us reach out to it, like we're casting a fishing rod pole out to the greater field and bringing it towards us, helping to interact us to have what we desire in our lives. And so when we have something like the perfect soulmate, I'm going to stay away from the term soulmate for a minute. When we have the perfect partner show up for us, when it doesn't seem to be what we asked for, or if it's we're asking for the perfect job and a different job shows up, then that's information for what else needs to be cleared. So, Barbara, you're doing a fantastic job of understanding, okay, it's anger, because I'm cranky and there is apparently repressed anger. So let's go ahead and clear out the anger. And this is, I'm so grateful that you called. I had had somebody scheduled to call in actually to tell a story about interacting with the universe, but instead, Barbara, you're modeling what needs to be cleared, and that's my specialty, so that we can have a more smooth connection to the greater field and a more smooth, efficient, quicker delivery of what it is we're desiring. Actually show up the way that we want instead of the way that it does. It's possible, and you're so right on when you talk about the high energies now. It's just so supportive for transformation, and in fact, we go into pain like never before if we're not transforming the areas that need the transformation. So good for you for being so awake and aware. I guess one of the things, we could go right into theta. Have you experienced any of the theta with me yet?
Not directly. I listened to an interview show where you did a clearing of the chakras.
Oh, the Melinda Zarate show?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, you did get some theta at the end. Let's go ahead and see what I can get with the anger to help you with the anger, okay?
Please.
Okay, so what that's going to look like is I'm going to take about a minute to get myself into theta. And then I'll be attuned into your field and I'll start doing clearings, which it's a reprogramming of your subconscious. And so we lock in those beliefs, like you had said, in a child work. And one of them that everybody usually has is I'm not good enough. So the subconscious concludes that at some point in our developmental years. So what it's going to sound like to you is because the subconscious, Barbara, works at a binary code, yes, no, zero, one kind mm-hmm. of conclusion making. It's just yes, no, black, white. Then I go in and you can hear me say, just be reversing the beliefs actually is what I'm going to be doing. And then I'll download to you the feeling of what you want, which is more peace and calm. And I'm also aware that it's the heart chakra that you're dealing with when you have, so the inner child sits in the third chakra. And as you heard on that interview, and so when you're talking about anger, what may be happening now is you're responding to the clearings you got on that interview. And so now more repressed anger is coming to the surface, which is how this work goes with me. It's progressive and cumulative, like energy healing is in general. And so now you're ready to deal with this repressed anger, which is now fourth chakra stuff, resentment, bitterness. Do you tend to have elbow or shoulder or tight shoulder stuff?
No. No, and I don't think there'd be bitterness at this point, just old anger from when I was a kid, and I just couldn't allow myself to feel it. If anything went wrong, I'd blame myself, but I wouldn't allow myself to get angry at anybody else. I just wouldn't allow it, and that's what that was all about.
What's your digestion like?
It's good. No, it's fine.
And how about your hips and lower back?
Hips, no. Hips are terrible.
Yeah, that's where you're holding it.
Yeah.
So, and we do that, like when I have taught yoga workshops and hip opening, people leave the room crying. I left when I was in India doing my yoga teacher training, and we had the hip opener workshop training on a Saturday for 2 hours. I left the yoga shala in India crying. I don't normally respond that way. So the hips are what lock in old emotions. So that's second chakra, if you wanted to, yeah. So if you want to check out the recording on my website for that, you can look into getting that one. You can also go to a local yoga studio and maybe see about who's having a hip opener workshop. You can go online and you can look up hip openers under Yoga Journal. They don't really list it that way, so just look like under hips. If you wanted to, you can contact me and we can do a one-on-one and I can assign you I can create a sequence for you that will be working with opening up the hips.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. So, after the show, it's ajkbliss@gmail.com. So it's all the initials, AJK, and then really happy, bliss@gmail. And we can set up a one-on-one where I'll design a sequence for you to help you release. I'm going to go into your field now, and that would be better for me to see what you would need for the yoga sequence more than just a general hip opener by being in your field now. This is a great way to do it. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead now and go into theta.
Okay.
Creator, it is commanded, please, that you pull the belief for Barbara at all the levels, at the core level, at the genetic level, at the soul level, resolving it for her at her history, past life level. I can't be hurt, yes. Replacing it with I can't be hurt, no. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at Barbara's history level. This is too much for me to handle, yes. Replacing it with this is too much for me to handle, no. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at her history level. I'm not safe to express myself, yes. Replacing it with I'm not safe to express myself, no. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at her history level. I'm not safe to express myself, yes. Replacing it with I am safe to express myself, yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at her history level. If I speak up, I won't be loved, yes. Replacing it with if I speak up, I won't be loved, no.
Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please. You pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it. Put Barbara at her history level. It's not okay to be angry. Yes. Replacing it with, it's not okay to be angry. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded that you clear any and all free-floating thoughts and trauma for Barbara around it not being okay for her to be angry. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it for Barbara at her history level. It's okay for me to express my anger? No. Replacing it with, it's okay for me to express my anger? Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, you download the feeling of it being okay for Barbara to express her anger? Show me. Creator, it is commanded, you download to Barbara the knowing how to go about her day-to-day life with it being okay to express her anger. Show me. Creator, it is commanded that you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of emotions and of expressing our emotions, the wisdom and health of that for her highest and best with grace and ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at her history level. It's not okay for me to say how I feel. Yes. Replacing it with, it is okay for me to say how I feel. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please. You pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at her history level. I am meant to be hurt. Yes. Replacing it with, I am meant to be hurt. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please. You pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at Barbara's history level. I am meant to be sad, yes. Replacing it with, I am meant to be sad, no. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please. You pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it for her at her history level. My emotions aren't safe, yes. Replacing it with, my emotions are safe, yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it for Barbara at her history level. I'm afraid of feeling what I feel, yes. Replacing it with, I'm afraid of feeling what I feel? No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it for Barbara at her history level. This is too big. I don't want to feel it. Yes. Replacing it with, this is too big. I don't want to feel it. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you clear any and all free-floating thoughts and trauma for Barbara around her emotions being so big that she doesn't want to feel them. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at Barbara's history level. I have the right to feel the way I feel. No. Replacing it with, I have the right to feel the way I feel. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you clear any and all free-floating thoughts and trauma for Barbara around not feeling she has the right to feel and to express what she feels. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at her history level. They don't want to hear it. Yes. Replacing it with, they don't want to hear it. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at her history level. I like to feel and express my emotions. No. Replacing it with, I like to feel and express my emotions. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download for Barbara to her the feeling of liking, expressing, and feeling her emotions. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download to Barbara the knowing how to go about her day-to-day life, liking to feel and feeling her emotions and liking to express what she feels. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it for Barbara at her history level. I'm supposed to stifle myself? Yes. Replacing it with, I'm supposed to stifle myself? No. Show me. All right, Barbara, that's really deep. I would highly recommend you come back in and listen to this a bunch more times, to the recording once it's up.
They were amazing. Every belief that you chose felt impactful. I think the one that rippled the most through me was when you said, this is too big, I don't want to feel it. That was huge. That was huge. I'm feeling it ripple through me again, just saying those words.
Yeah, listen to it a bunch more times, because there's a fair amount there. The one that I felt the most charged from you on was when I cleared the trauma of not being able to express yourself, feeling like you didn't have the right to. There was a blast of anger.
Yes. And I'm not used to it. I had suppressed it. So I'm not used to expressing anger. Now it keeps popping up, and I don't know that it's coming. It's like, oh, my God, did I just do that? I feel so bad afterwards. I think I've got to figure this out here.
Okay, there's just allow it. There's nothing. Let's let the mind. I hear you. So we're so unfamiliar with valuing the expression of emotions overall that we don't really know what to do with them. And so we want to put a cork on it, is a lot of our training. So your chakra, second chakra, is opening up. If you are able to get by running water, either by a fountain or go by a river or go by the ocean, because running water is the element, as you heard on that interview, of the second chakra. But the running water sound will help continue to allow you to allow yourself to feel what you feel, and it be an okay thing.
Yes.
And the fact that they're coming up, Barbara, this is very, very typical. Really receive this. This is completely typical once you start doing this clearing work with me. Instead of bottling them up anymore, the releases that happen. So when we start crying for no reason or getting angry for no reason, exactly, you're exactly right. We're releasing the repressed. The repressed emotions eventually lead to disease. So you're doing preventative healthcare right now by letting your anger out.
Yeah, no, I know it's a gift. As I said, the thing is, I've waited so long to have a male partner, almost 20 years, and the guy just shows up in May, and because our souls are so connected, he's makes little statements that just end up making me get not nice. And I'm just so shocked. I'm thinking, I've waited so long. This guy's going to run, not walk, in the opposite direction. If I can't figure out another way of releasing this stuff, some other way than with my relationship with Miguel. So this is good, and I'll get some water, believe me.
Yeah,
I will contact you about some more work. You're a gift. Thank you so much. This is a very generous gift you've given me today. I really appreciate it. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's my honor, Barbara. Just one last thing. What about trusting yourself and trusting who has been brought into your life now to be able to handle your expression of your emotions? I hear you. We don't want to be only angry or snippy or cranky. We want to give joy to our partnering. But what if it's okay? What if it's exactly what you need right now, and he's needing things from your expression of your anger that you're not even aware of and that he's not even consciously aware of? What if it's just okay, exactly as it is?
Thank you. That will help me. When I start to feel bad, I'll remember those words. Thank you very much.
My honor. We'll talk soon. Blessings.
Okay.
Thanks, Barbara.
Bye.
Okay, so, wow, that was a beautiful gift, the emotions. So, the nature of today's show, as many of you are hanging on to get to, but also at the same time are just floating from that last one. That was a really good clearing. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Universe. So, actually, my two clients ago from this radio show today was talking about anger and didn't feel like it was safe to feel it, because it just, we're taught that it's not. And it was actually anger coming up because she was frustrated that there were these men coming at her that she had already said no to. And she doesn't like to, you know, say out loud no strongly more than once, and doesn't really know how to do that. She's a soft, loving girl and has been brought up to be a good little girl with, you know, a pretty overbearing father. So she had some of her own stuff wrapped up in her being able to draw clear boundaries. So she had this anger come up when the guys that she'd already said no to had come back asking her to hang out and or get to know her better. And
she just flipped into anger, and she's like, I don't understand why I got angry. And anger actually, in that regard, and in many cases like this, it helps us draw boundaries. When something is happening in our field, in our life, that doesn't feel right to us, and it feels invasive, we're going to have anger well up as a protective mechanism to have the power to push off that thing coming in. So, yeah, emotions are great information, not necessarily something to be resisted, because they're really more honest than our mind's thoughts. They're a more accurate gauge of where we're at, and that's what the show is based on today. So the vibration that we're at, and what vibration means is the feeling of, notice that word, the feeling of the energy that we're emitting off of us, like if we each oozed an emotion. If you were to think about what's your usual set point day to day when you have this moment now to consider it, are you usually spaced out, checked out, overwhelmed, happy, joyous, really present, angry, frustrated, short-tempered, stressed, ready to snap? What's the typical tone? That's your primary frequency that you're sending out. So if you think of each of us as radio receivers, and so we're towers, each of us, or cellular towers, and we're emitting out there frequencies, and then we're also receiving frequencies with the feelings. It's not a singular thought. So we'll have a train of thoughts on one track that will be like, you can just have this first thought, right? That's like, oh man, I hate when he does that. And so typically what's the next thought? Because it always leaves me feeling so frustrated. And then what's the next train in the long row of cars on this one train going down this same familiar track? What would be the next thought? I wish he'd do this instead. Ah, man, I wish his mother had trained him better. You know, so it's just without having any sense of monitoring our mind or bringing our awareness back to our breath, like we talked about in last week's radio show with the meditation practice that we did together on air for the first time, or later when you listen to the recording. It's not a singular thought. It's the train of thoughts, because that leads a certain emotional tone that then translates into a frequency. So in that example, it would be one of frustration. So the key here is to understand that it's like, I don't know how many of you are familiar with sacred geometry, but if you think of a snowflake, or you think of when you're laying under a palm tree, those of you who have done that, and you look at the way the palm fronds come out in that spiral, or you look at a flower, like the center of a daisy, and you see how the petals form, that sacred geometry kind of formation, that flower, circular from center, everything growing out, that's the energy of expansion at the core of all life. So it's, and if you'll notice in each of those examples, from the center, it's reaching out in the design of life, which is to connotate expansion. Because remember, trees don't grow down, they grow up, except for, I think, one species. So why I'm saying that is, if you think of the kind of stamps you can get at a craft store, and then you get a stamp pad for your kids, or if you're Chinese and you have the stamp with your name on it, that is the way of signing papers in the formality of the Chinese culture, with legal documents. So you take the stamp, that's this flower or the snowflake or the palm fronds growing out from the center, and you stamp it on the stamp pad, and then you would have put it on the paper, clean white piece of paper, and it leaves its impression there. And now you have a new picture from the stamp on the ink pad. That's what we're doing with our transmission of our frequency from our most common feeling or from the dominant feeling we're emitting in that moment. So that stamp, that impression is left on the field of consciousness that surrounds our body. So there's this huge field that animates all of life. It's qi in the Chinese culture. And so if you were to look up a qigong video, not tai chi, not anything with martial arts, and not even tai chi, even though it's slower and not combative. Qigong is the basis for all martial arts. I'm a qigong practitioner. And I do Shi Bao Shan, but to spell that and refer you guys to a YouTube video is too much. So if you just looked up a qigong video on YouTube and you reached out, so what you're going to see is somebody reaching out with their hand very slowly to reach out to the bigger field of qi and then bring it towards their lower belly, which is the Dan Tien. And then they do it with their right arm. And this is part of the warm-up for the Shi Bao Shan series. And you get taught through that motion of the reaching out from your own center, from your own localized consciousness that each of us are, then you're reaching out to the greater field. And so all life, all animate life has this aliveness to it, this qi. In English, we call it the life force, subtle life force energy is the long way. And it's prana in India, and it's ki in Japan, like for those Reiki people out there. It's what is the alive animated force underneath all of life. And so you want to cultivate that and build that, right? And that's what the qigong practice is about, for example. So when we're a local, each of us is considered a localized consciousness. There's been science done on this. Rupert Sheldrake out of the UK has done studies and come out with the term morphic field. William Tiller has done some work with this, and I've had him on my radio show. So if you want to go into the archives from last year, you can look that up, the science behind consciousness. And that's also one of the two free downloads you get in my book, at the back of my book, for those of you who have my book or those of you who are going to buy it. The link is down to the right if you want to. So we're talking about stuff you can explore later, but there's been science that's measured now, been able to measure these fields. And matrix energetics works with these fields. They're called morphic fields, and you can create a new morphic field when you're, I've lost you, I feel like. Let me back up. So when you're reaching out from your own localized consciousness, which has an overall tone based on your overall feeling, that's the dominant feeling you walk around with, or possibly the mood you're in right now, you're emitting a frequency to the larger field, and it leaves an imprint on that larger field. So based on the law of attraction, which many of you are familiar with, and based on the universal law of magnetics, that imprint then has the field just giving back what that imprint is of the snowflake or the flower without interpreting. And that's key to understand. There is no interpretation happening. Okay, so you told us you want a partner, but you really didn't mean a person that you would be combative with. You really meant somebody peaceful. Or you told us you wanted a partner. You have this feeling emanating out from your heart. You're lonely, and you really want to have it filled, asking you shall receive. Okay, here. So I'm going against a couple of the trainings now, because there, it's been said, right, that if you send out the focus of what you're not having, then that's what's going to be imprinted on the larger morphic field of all consciousness of qi, and it's going to bring back to you more of the same, right? So if you're focused on what you don't have and what you want to replace or fill up the hole of something you don't have, if you're more focused on the I don't have, then again, if the larger field doesn't interpret, it just reacts almost from the imprint left on the field of the snowflake. Here's my feeling, my overall frequency, my overall tone. Then it's going to bring back what you're focused on not having. So the bottom line is your feelings can help. It's funny. I had a client yesterday say to me, Allison, I don't know how you're always so happy. Like I try and I, but things set me off. Like I'm still having things. Like I'm not always staying positive. And we talked about it, but I realized when I was preparing for the show and talking about emotions, it's like there is selfishness in me choosing to be happy because I know that negative emotions don't serve me. All they do is bring back more of the situation that has caused the negative emotions. So for example, by focusing on what I don't have, that doesn't help me get what I do want to have or do desire to have. And I could go into other stuff like I just don't like it. It doesn't feel good when I'm negative and it doesn't feel good to be feeling lack. And it feels anti-God or anti-divinity or anti-universe, like anti-fundamental structure of the universe. If I'm looking at a lack perspective, like now it's so intuitively wired. I feel it down to my cells. And I've been saying it a lot in the last couple of weeks that at the core of this universe is love. But that field isn't going to interpret what we put on it. So it behooves us to have two primary emotions, gratitude and love that feels like joy, because that's heart-based energy. And when we have a heart with bitterness or resentment covering it up, or frustration or aggravation or blame or anger or feeling like a victim, that covers up the heart's ability to emanate. The heart has 10 times more electromagnetic force than the brain does, which is amazing because of all of the electricity that happens to fire off all of the neurons required for just one thought. You would think that there'd be more electrical emissions coming off of the brain, when in fact it's been measured by EKG machines. The heart has 10 times more power to emanate. And I know that in yoga, we work a lot with the heart. In the warrior poses, we work, the heart leads. In the whole Shambhala tradition, I mean, it's the learning. Shambhala is a leg of Tibetan Buddhism. It's learning the whole yogic tradition, and with meditation being five of the eight limbs, is to learn how to work with the mind so that you can access these greater fields of consciousness within yourself, and then let your imprint out on the field be one of peace and harmony and love, so that you're putting that out there to help increase that feeling throughout your community. And it's also what you end up getting back. So it's, yes, a cycle. So it's also why we see negative people staying negative for the most part and positive people staying positive. And it's like these two separate camps. So if you're hearing this and you tend to get frustrated, that's okay. I'm not saying don't get frustrated. Just remember that what helps you the most is to be in the feeling of love or joy or gratitude, because all of that opens the heart. And like Barbara, interestingly enough, just called up, she needed help with some of the stuff that represses the heart, which is frustration and, as you heard, resentment, blame. So how do we extend ourselves more towards the field? You guys want me to talk about how do I if I'm in the middle of frustration, Allison, I can't do what you're saying. Yes, you can. That's why I'm not focusing a lot on it. Just come back to the breath and come back to the present moment and just stop listening to the mind. It is as simple as that. And there has been enough people meditating for long enough now in the West that it feels easier to tap into that field that exists in the West, that, you know what, our minds are not our most powerful tool. Our minds actually need to be disciplined. Let me do it. So yes, you can. And it is as simple as that. Go back and listen to last week's radio show if you need to. There's a reason why I'm doing them in the order that I'm doing them. Last week's was first on how to discipline the mind and bring it into rein. Rein it in. Bring it under wraps. Make it serviceable. Because once we make the mind and its thoughts serviceable, you start to open up to this whole new level of engagement with the outside world. So you know when you walk out
I had a client, and this is who I thought was going to be calling in. She's an 81-year-old beautiful woman, and she had 2 weeks ago a really strong clearing in her session, and she went home, and she was having a funk as the stuff was clearing out, and she needed to stop having the funk. And so one of the techniques that I always recommend is go outside and get your feet on the earth, or go outside and be in nature. And what she did was she went outside on her dock, and the moon was almost full at that point, and it had been cloudy the whole time before she went out there. And then when she was actually under the moon and started to do, I don't remember what it was, I think it's the Tibetan Five Rites, she started to do that, her exercises, the sky cleared and the moon came out, and she's on a lake, on a dock, and she felt like it had just come out for her. And as soon as she was done, the moon went back under clouds. It was under clouds for as long as she was still awake that night. Last week, after her session last week, we did a huge clearing of trauma around storms. As many of you know, especially those of you who are local, Tampa Bay is the lightning capital of the world, and we get some really intense thunder and lightning here. And she's scared of it. And I treat both her and her husband. It's a brilliant gift. He's 85 and he just turned 85 this week. Happy birthday. I'm not going to say your name on air. And he was coming up the top of the stairs one day saying, I can't, because I started working with him before her. He said, I don't understand having a fear of the storms when you live in Florida. And I said, but John, you grew up here. She didn't. And I know, and it does, it seems like, how could you live here with a fear of storms? And she had a really strong fear of lightning and thunder. She wouldn't go out in it. She wouldn't drive in it. And it would make her extremely uneasy. And so we did a trauma clearing on it. You heard some trauma clearing done with Barbara. And she goes home. And the next day, there was a storm starting. She's walking in her neighborhood. And it doesn't start to rain, but you can see the storm clouds, and they come in quick here, and they're black. And so she goes in under, oh, it does start to rain, that's right. And she goes in under the overhang of her neighbor's garage, and her neighbor comes out, who's 89, and offers her to take the golf cart to drive her, my client, two houses down to where my client lived, this 89-year-old woman with a golf cart. And so not everybody's retired in Florida, even as you hear the story. And so she drives my client two houses down to my client's house. It's only raining. It's just raining. And she gets in the house, and her neighbor, she wanted to call and say thank you. But by the time she had dried off, she knew that her neighbor was going to be taking a bath and didn't want to disturb her neighbor. And so she's freshly dried off, and then the lightning and thunder starts. Once she's safely tucked in at home. So it can seem really narcissistic, self-absorbed to a degree of narcissism, if we think that the stuff that happens around us happens because of us or for us, right? That's old school thinking, though. I mean, that's just pure scholarly dry of an understanding of the mysterious forces in the universe, academic thinking. It is absolutely the way it works. In understanding consciousness, it is our consciousness that sends out, even at that high of a level. Yeah, it depends. This woman is incredibly powerful. Her uncle was actually responsible for, I don't know if I should say this on air, but something very big in our country's history having to do with Mount Rushmore. And she has a lot of power. And the more powerful of us with the more expansive spirits or souls, same difference I'm using in the same way here, have the ability to really activate that field. I do on behalf of my clients with what they want for outcomes. The more actively you interact with this field, the more actively it talks back. So it's like if you had two kids and one of the kids you ignored because they weren't, even though you're not supposed to do this as a parent, one of the kids was easier to deal with than the other one. And so you overlook the other one more easily. If that one isn't getting talked to, then the dialogue, you know, back and forth doesn't grow. If you have somebody who's interested in you romantically and you guys start talking and communicating back and forth, the dialogue blossoms and it grows and it becomes bigger. It's the same way with the universe. We can call it the universe. We can call it the morphic field. We can call it whatever we want to call it, consciousness. It's much more responsive once we start to interact with it. And what I mean by interact with it is, so for example, this morning I walked out of my front door and there was a kite, which is a split-tailed hawk, flying right over my door. Kites don't, I live right backed up to a nature preserve. There's deer, there's hawk, red-tailed hawks, there's crows, but there's not really kites here. Kites tend to be around more salt water. And so there was one circling right in front of my door, and I knew it was to me. Hawks are sacred. They're considered messengers in the Native American culture. So backing up, my own story with this is years ago, I started doing work in the Native American healing communities and worked with a couple of different tribes, one up in the Pacific Northwest and then one down in the Southeast, the Bear Tribe out of Alabama and Georgia. And then I did, during my master's, an Audubon Society internship. I was the first intern locally here in Tampa Bay for them. I took people out on bird tours to a local bird nesting island, a rookery, where migratory birds would come every spring to this island. And so I was taught what the different birds were. And I was trained in naturalist interpretation. And I would take people out and point out what the different birds were and talk about their habits. And so I combined these two, the work with the Native Americans and learning about the power animals, or some people call them the totem animals, and learning about the symbolism behind animals, and then learning how to point out the natural animals. So I led my own kayak treks up through a local river, pointing out the different animals and then talking about their symbolism and their meaning when they show up in our lives. So, for example, a butterfly, when it flutters right by your head, when it's not just doing its thing and living in its ecosystem, but when it seems like it's reaching out to you. When a butterfly flutters by, and that takes a little bit of a learning curve to distinguish that, when the animals are just in their own ecosystem and doing their thing and it has nothing to do with you. Especially if you come from a mind that hasn't been worked with a lot in any kind of retraining way, like meditation, where the ego is still really dominant, you might want to just like say every animal there is for you. And so you can observe and see what their behavior is. And are they totally nestled within their ecosystem and not reaching out to you? Or does it seem like they're put right in front of your path, impossible to ignore? That latter one is when it's the interactive reaching out to you. And so the butterfly symbolizes in a lot of different cultures, fluttering about, transformation. And then when they flutter like right by your head or right by your window, as you're thinking a certain thought, then that means that the thought that you just had was truth. So doesn't this open up an entirely new world to live in? When people come to, I mean, really, I'm going to slow down for a second. That doesn't allow for us to be self-absorbed, because we're not lost in our mind with our thoughts about, oh, poor me, or, oh, how am I going to get through all of this? Or, oh, I'm so overwhelmed. How am I going to take care of all these tasks? It brings us up and out of ourselves. So it's actually the opposite of self-absorbed. And it brings us into a vibration that's so much more about joy and love and openness and life. Construction, not destruction. I remember in literature class, when I was teaching in the classroom, I was talking with the students based on a piece of literature we were studying about, we were exploring good versus evil and are humans inherently evil. And I did some research actually, and I let them do research too for extra credit. And in came the voice of the Dalai Lama in some research that I found, where he says that humans for centuries have been working together in cultures around the world, coming together as a community where one person would bake the bread and one person would raise the corn or the rice, or grow the corn or rice. One person would drive the ox cart. One person would, so the community would work together, each person doing a certain part of the cog in the wheel, coming together as a functional community, constructing life as each
member of the community acted like a cog in that wheel of the construction of the community's life. If we were inherently evil, then we would not have that tendency. We would be destructive, and we wouldn't still be here. I love that. Yeah. Because it's the sense of moving forward. It's that sense of expansion. The soul always wants to expand. That's the nature of all life, like I was talking about in the beginning of this soliloquy of mine, when it's pushing out from the heart. Because keeping in mind, the Chinese say shen as a Chinese word for heart and for spirit. So they believe that the heart resides at, pardon me, the spirit resides at the heart. And then quoting studies about the power of the heart measured by EKG machines, the heart has 10 times more electromagnetic force to it than the brain. So the field is made up of electrical magnetic energy. If you take your hands together right now, I'm going to show you something from Qigong. Don't let your hands be together. Just have your hands facing each other. And those of you who are listening, who have been in my workshops, some of my workshops, you've already experienced this. So your hands are about a foot apart and your palms are facing each other. And now start bringing slowly your hands towards each other. Don't let them touch. And now pull them apart by about half the distance that you originally started at. Now bring them towards each other again. Don't let them touch. Doesn't matter how close, just don't let them touch. Now start bringing them apart. What are you feeling? Start bringing them closer together again. Not fast, you're doing this very slowly. And usually people feel either a prickliness around their fingers, a tingling around their fingers, a magnetism that is like a repulsion, the palms can't come together, there's a force of resistance in between the palms, or heat. And the heat is kind of that why it would tickle and tingle at the fingertips. So electric magnetic field, there's electricity, heat, tingling, and there's magnetics, that repulsion, the resistance between your palms. You just felt the electromagnetic field emanating out of your hands. You just felt the invisible chi, or the invisible subtle life force energy, that it runs all throughout your body, especially the more the chakras are open, and all around your body, and all out in everything alive. It's electric and it's magnetic. So totally cool, isn't it? Well, the first time you do that, it's life-changing. You just texturally interacted tangibly with life force energy. You just felt it. So if our heart has 10 times the amount of ability to emanate, it is in fact our heart that's calling out most to the field with what our desires are to create. So if we're not aware that we're creating, if we're not on this path yet, understanding that our beliefs, meaning our moods, our tones, are creating what we then have the field respond with, without interpretation, that we just get more of it because that's what we're putting out there with our impression from our heart or from our most dominant tone, feeling, which is a frequency. Because if you're depressed, and that's a different level of energy, right? Slow, lethargic, versus if you're happy, that's a hot, you're more vital, right? You got it. Those are different frequencies. One's higher than the other. So we're emitting a frequency that this electromagnetic energy sends out to the higher field, or the bigger field, not higher, but bigger. I say higher because I sense divinity in it. It doesn't have to involve spirituality. It doesn't have to involve God. It does not involve religion. I mean, as you read in my book, I'm just simply talking about the science. You just felt the texture of the life force energy. It is. It just simply is, and it can be observed. Pardon me. It doesn't have to be spiritualized or religious, but definitely, I mean, on the more advanced stages of meditation and the yogic path, it does become spiritual, and it does. It doesn't have to be for you, though, if that causes you to not want to go further down the path here of learning how to work with your mind and work with the forces of the universe. So when you're in a really, when you're in those model emotions for the heart chakra, which is gratitude, joy, and love,
then you have the most power to engage, to reach out like you're a fishing rod, like I said at the beginning of the show, and engage that field and then pull it towards you. If you're not actively working to create the life that you desire, and you're just new to this, you'll notice how what you focus on, you get more of. That's this at play. Remember, the bigger field doesn't interpret. It just delivers. The imprint on its field, what it is you're sending out. So if you're constantly talking about how hard life is, or how much pain you're in, or how much he does to hurt you, or how much you hate this job, or how little money you have. You guys get the point. There's no interpretation happening. The bigger field just comes back with what it is that you're worried about and gives you it, because that's the imprint you're leaving. So it would behoove you to get lighter. That's what you saw me do with Barbara. I did not plan that. That was totally spontaneous. And in fact, I didn't even get a chance because I've been running backed up today with my clients to post any of the social media posts about the show. So that was beautifully synchronistic. Thank you, universe. It's exactly what I'm talking about. So as you saw me help Barbara, she didn't call up about her throat chakra or her head, sixth or seventh chakra, is wanting to get more spiritual. She called up about the heart chakra. And so if we're in a state of resentment and we clear it, then that allows our heart to be more powerful in creating what it is that we desire. So if you're sitting there finding yourself in a mood one day, the best thing you can do is think about something that makes you feel lighter. And if you realize that you have blocks, come on the group Theta Healing Call. That's what it's there for. We can make our world lighter. If more and more of us are walking around with higher heart chakras, a higher vibration, more joy in our lives, one of us doing that affects 100,000 people instead of the old numbers where it was one of us affects 10,000 people. So it's a supportive, like Barbara was saying in the beginning of the call, it's amazing the energy right now, especially when you do open the heart and you do start to reach for what you desire from the, I don't want to sound like, I don't know, whatever, from the deepest levels that you desire instead of just surface level desires. This works for those too. But I'm not talking about the law of attraction as talked about in The Secret to get merchandise. You can use it for that for sure. Because if you're happy, you know, and you're feeling safe and you're feeling like you have enough, then that's sending out a good heart energy. So the bottom line is that you benefit from feeling good. AllisonJK.com/special offer. Check it out. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.allisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.